Turn in your Bibles to Haggai, page 962 in the Old Schofield. You freshmen will be looking when I'm done. Thank you, boys, for the song. Man, that's terrific. I said to Brother Scott, I hope you come back and don't turn professional. That's terrific, really. Where's Linda Brown? You didn't stand up as a visitor. You got to stand up now. There's my secretary. She came to hear me preach today. Thank you for coming. A lot of things I'd like to preach on today, but today we preach on Haggai chapter 5 through 7, chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Does that sound like your bus route in your Bible club? You eat, but you have not enough. Some of you folks are always at McDonald's. You drink, but you have not filled. But you are not filled with drink. Never cease to amaze at all of you walking around with a Coke all the time. Never have enough to drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm. I see you girls at JCPenney all the time. And he that earneth wages to put them in a bag with holes. If I had the ear of the nation, I would preach on what I'm going to preach on this morning. If I could come to your church, I would preach on this subject. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Title of the message is, how's your bag? I don't mean the one next to you. How is your bag? In the olden days, they carried a little bag, put their money in there. And God said, but earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. How's your bag? How's your checking account? How is your savings account? How is your bag? Now, Father, I believe that fundamentalists would get right with you regarding money, that they would have the power of God on their life to change America and we'd see revival. Lord, I believe if fundamentalists would get right with you regarding money, we could evangelize the world. Lord, we have people willing to go. We need money to send them. Dear God, we have cities to reach, and we need empowered preachers. Father, I pray that you'll help every ear to listen today in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody wants to stop the cash outgo. You want to stop the hole in your bag. Is that right? That's right. Every married man, every single boy, every single young lady wants to stop the hole in your bag. And today I'd like to present a few things to you to help stop that hole in your bag. I believe with all of my heart that if you'll listen to what I have today, that we can have some future preachers go out there and get the job done for the cause of Christ, because you're going to stop the hole in your bag. The greatest problem in Christianity today for preachers is there's not enough money to get the job done. Now, the job I have today is not to raise money. The job I have today is to raise Christians. And when Christians have been raised, the money will come in. Amen. Oh, listen, I believe that I've seen too many of you come and go that could be great missionaries on the foreign mission field, but you had a hole in your bag, and you didn't know why you had a hole in your bag. And today I want to help you know why you have a hole in your bag, why you don't have the money you need to get the job done in your own life. I believe with all of my heart, I've seen many of young people come and go here that could have stayed if somebody would have taught them the truth from the Word of God, that they had a hole in their bag and had to stop that hole in the bag. My heart grieves for staff members sitting right over here and folks that teach at some of our systems, our school system, that don't know how to plug the hole in their bag, that they might have all that they need for their family. They might have what they need to pay their bills on time, that you can stay in school, that you can prosper and have that which is needful for your life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Young man was at pastor's school. I looked at him and I said, "What's your name?" He said, "My name's Randall Albright." I said, "Randall, haven't seen you in a long time. He was a member of my church years ago." Randall went off to college the same fall that my son, who's a missionary in Africa, went off to college. He went to another good college. My son came here. My son knew how to patch the hole in his bag, graduated, and now is a missionary in Africa. Randall didn't stay in college and came home. A God-called young man. As a young man, never saw Randall sin one time. But he didn't know how to patch the hole in his bag. Randall was at pastor school this year, and I chatted with him about his life. He's in Bible college again. Married, has children. 13 years later, now he knows how to stay in school. But he's lost 13 years from his life. 13 years from his life. I hesitate to say this, but somebody came in my office and wrote the secretary in the office today a note and said, "I'm leaving school." My heart was torn. Checking out. Listen to me. You don't have to do that if you know the truths of the Word of God. Oh, this is April Fool's Day, and the devil would love to fool you into thinking you can't stay. But I want to tell you something, you can stay. Consider your ways. Does your bag have a hole in it? Consider your ways. Number one, the tithe is holy unto the Lord. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. Say it with me. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. Say it again. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. Leviticus 27:30. It's holy. It's holy. I've never used this, although I did have a part in paying for it. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. Old Belshazzar learned that the tithe was holy unto the Lord when he took the golden and silver vessels from the temple at Jerusalem and he used them for an ungodly purpose. He put wine in them and they had a drunken orgy there in Babylon. Those vessels were produced by the tithes of God's people. And when Belshazzar took that which was wrong and converted, or took that which is holy and converted it to a wrong use, then his kingdom was destroyed. That very night, God wrote on the wall, "Menemene Tekel, you Pharisee, you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting." Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you take that which is holy unto God and you pay your second school bill that was due last Friday with it, you have been found in the balances. You've been weighed in the balances and you've found wanting. When you take what belongs to God and you convert it to your own use and you pay tuition for somebody in some school system here, you rob God of that which is His and converted it to your own use, and you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. You cannot take that which is holy unto God and convert it unto your own use and expect your bag not to have a hole in it. Oh, listen to me today. Listen, you want to stay in school? You want to prosper? You want to have what you need? You honor God with what belongs to Him. All of it. Oh, listen. Adam and Eve committed the first sin. Adam did. They fell into sin, were separated from God. Do you know their bag had a hole in it? They no longer could walk with God in the cool of the day. They no longer could fellowship with God the way they could before. They took of the fruit of that tree that belonged to God, a tree that was holy unto God. I believe with all of my heart that was the tithe tree. That tree they stole the tithe from, converted it to their own use, and fell into sin. I believe the first sin not only was disobeying God, but the first sin was stealing the tithe from God. Listen, friends, if Adam and Eve would fall into sin and be separated from God in that manner because they converted that which was holy into something unholy, what is going to happen to you when you do so? The tithe is holy unto God. I want every married man to stand. The tithe is more important that you give it to God, young man, and older folks, than you pay your house payment. The tithe is more important than it go on the offering plate at the local New Testament independent fundamental separated soul winning Baptist church than you pay your tuition. The tithe is more important, it's holy unto God, young man, than your grocery bill. Oh, listen, the tithe is more important than you fixing your car. The tithe is holy unto God. You men, I want you to say it. The tithe is holy unto God. I can't hear you. The tithe is holy unto God. Thank you and be seated. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. Oh, Achan went into Jericho. There were 600,000 warring children of Israel, men age 20 and over, that were there to fight battle and do war and take the promised land. Achan went into Jericho. That city was a tithe city, the first fruits always belonged to God. By the way, the first $10 out of every 100 belongs to God. The first dollar out of every 10 belongs to God. The first dime out of every dollar belongs to God. And the first penny out of every dime belongs to God. Don't you forget, God wants to be first. That's why he said first fruits belong to him. You don't pay your electric bill first, you pay God first. You don't pay your house payment first, you pay God first. You don't pay your car payment first, you pay God first. You don't go hear the Northwest Indiana Symphony first, you pay God first. I guess if you got $25 to hear the symphony, you'll have enough to tithe with. Amen. Oh, listen, God comes first in your life. You say, it's all the same, Brother Smith, whether I give him $10 off the top or $10 off the bottom. No, no, no. Whoever you write the check to first is most important in your mind. Oh, you listen to me. God is a holy God. The tithe is holy unto God. And those of you who have not learned that have a hole in your bag and you're not making ends meet. Your car tires never wear long enough. Your car engine won't run far enough. You never have enough to eat. You never have enough to wear. Nothing's ever enough to you. I praise God for what the preacher preached last night. Be happy with what you got and let God take care of you. Oh, listen. Out of those 600,000 warring men, I don't know whether they all went up to Jericho or not. But let's say they did. If I was in the army, I'd want to have part in that first city, wouldn't you? Huh? I sure would, man. Let's go. Let's go get them. I've walked around that thing seven times. On the seventh day, I want to go get that city. I want my part in that. Achan took that which belonged to God. The only one recorded in the Bible who did in that instance. He stole the tithe. That gold and that silver belonged to God. He took, now listen to me, possibly 1/600,000th of the tithe. That's all. But he lost his life for it, and his wife lost her life, and the kids lost their lives, and the children of Israel lost the battle at Ai, and 35 men were killed because one man stole the tithe. Who's going to die and go to hell because you steal the tithe? They can't send another bus. Who's going to die and go to hell because you didn't tithe? Huh? Young men, go to pastor somewhere. What you do is what your people will do. If you're liberal, they'll be liberal. If you steal, they'll steal. And you can get up and rant and rave all you want. If you don't live it, they won't do it. If you don't go soul winning, they won't go soul winning. If you don't walk them down the aisle, they won't walk them down the aisle. And if you don't give, they won't give. All the tithe is holy unto the Lord. How's your bag? How's your bag? I don't mean your wife. How's your bag? Does it have a hole in it? Well, I don't mean you're wealthy, but are you paying your bills on time? Dr. Rice said, getting things from God just like turning on a light switch, turning on a faucet. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All. How you doing? How you doing? Consider your ways. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. Have you made it holy unto him? Number two, consider your ways. Do you tithe on all your increase? Brother Hooker? In December 1993, I preached this section of the message today in an entirely different message, and Brother Hooker was moved by the Holy Spirit to do something, and I've asked his permission to give a little testimony.
All of our lives when we were going to school, we gave, and of course we tithed, and it was always off the top. I mean, the first check that went out, it was our tithe check, and we gave extra, and I saw my wife drop in her engagement ring in the offering plate one time, an $1,800 engagement ring, because a couple needed some help. We gave away about three cars and during school and all that, but Brother Smith brought us to a new level. I mean, for years, all the way through school, I never made over $6.50 an hour, but I never missed a day of school for finances. And in those 4 years, every year, God brought in at least $10,000 extra a year over what I made. But God touched my heart the night I heard Brother Smith, because he spoke about all of your increase. And he started mentioning some things. He said, you know, if somebody gives you a car, or somebody supplies some food for you. And as he was saying it, I started thinking, good night, the college lets us eat here free. The college supplies our insurance. The college, the church gives me a car. I said, there's no way that I can tithe. I don't have the money to tithe off of a car. Somebody had just given me a van, $6,000. They'd wrote a check out and bought a van for me. I said, how do I pay for that? I don't have that kind of thing. And Brother Smith said, draw up a budget. Draw up a budget and tell God that you'll pay him regularly each month, just like any other bill, and catch it up. And so that night I decided to do that, and it came to a little over $100 extra a month. And honestly, all of our bills got paid every month, but we didn't have that. We didn't have $100 extra to pay each month. But I said, Brother Smith, I'm going to do it. And I bowed my head and I told God, I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to find some way to pay that $100 extra a month. So I did. The first 4 months, I thought something was wrong with this whole system. Because the first 4 months, we went about $1,000, $2,000 in debt. Not because of the tithe, but because I had four kids going to hospital in the first 4 months. And everything that seemed to be done was not covered. And we just went way in debt. I walked up to him half jokingly and but half discouraged after about 4 months. I said, Brother Smith, you messed me up, man. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, I've been paying that extra that I for all of my increase, for trying to pay for the car, the insurance, the food that supplied to me, everything. And I said, man, all we're doing is going farther and farther in the hole. And I was just joking with him, poking at him, but I was a little down. You know, you go that far in debt that quick. And he looked at me, and he said something really impressed me. He said, Bobby, he said, if you will do what I'm asking you to do for 1 year, if God doesn't take care of you in this whole thing, he said, I'll pay you back everything extra you paid in. Now, of course, I'd never accept that. Well, maybe I would. But you know, I walked away and I said, you know, he is serious about this thing. And it was a real encouragement to me. And we kept on going. Now, I can't tell you everything because there's some things that we can't say specifically, but that was almost 3.5-4 years ago. In the last 3.5-4 years, this past year, my tithe was almost $5,000. I don't know if you can figure that out, but there's no way that we make that here. But that's what God keeps bringing in, paying our bills. This past year, a preacher told us about 3.5 years ago, started looking at a house over in Sherrillville near the school. There's nothing over there we could afford, but we looked for 3 years. Just every once in a while, I drive through there. 6 months ago, we bought a house for $105,000. No way that we could pay for that off of what I make. I work for the school, work for the church, and that's it. But in order to have the down payment for that house, I was talking to a fellow at a picnic that we were having, and he walked up and he said, "I want to help you," and he gave me a check for $12,200 to put a down payment on the house. Now, what I'm telling you is Brother Smith, 3.5 years ago, you know, you ought to be still growing. I don't care where you are in your Christian life. And that day in that chapel service, even in college, I think it was, I just bowed my head. I said, "God, you got to take me to a new level about this thing of giving. I don't know how we can afford to do this. There's no way I can afford $100 a month. But now I realize there's no way I can afford not to." And we've been doing it all these years. And I'll be real honest with you, we caught up a long time ago on my increase. But I never stopped the giving. And in fact, we've increased it. And God, more I increase it, the more God increases it. And every bill gets paid every month and always has for 14 years. No less than $10,000 has come in extra every year for 10 years. And this past year, about $20,000. All I can say is that you can't outgive God if you give of all of your increase.
All right, how's your bag? How is your bag? Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Is the tithe holy unto you? Consider your ways. Do you tithe on your increase? On all of your increase? Let's explore some things. When I pastored in Arkansas, we had $12,000 income. But we had $24,000 in fringe benefits. What do you tithe on, 12 or 36? 36. That's right. You see, they supplied a car, I had tithe on that. They supplied electric, I had a tithe on that. I work here, they supply food, I have to tithe on that. They supply health insurance, I have to tithe on that. It's important that we realize that everything that comes in is part of our increase, and we're to tithe on the entire increase. I want to give you a saying that I coined, I think. If you don't tithe on all, you don't tithe at all. If you don't tithe on all, you don't tithe at all. All of you fellas that work somewhere, would you stand up, please? Do they pay Social Security for you at work? Do you tithe on it? Don't answer me. Do they pay unemployment compensation for you at work, both federal and state? Do you tithe on it? Do they pay for you there, perhaps some fringe benefits, maybe for retirement? You need to tithe on it. Do you have workman's compensation where you work? I own a business, and my carpenters, I have to pay, out of every $100 I pay them, I have to pay $7.98 for workman's compensation. Do you tithe on workman's compensation where you work? That is part of your increase. Thank you and be seated. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3 briefly. Proverbs 3. Last time we preached out of Proverbs 3. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of, say the next word, all. Say it. All. Say it. All thine increase. Now I want to go with you, please, to Matthew 23:23. I'm doing a no-no for speaking to young people, having you turn in your Bible. But Matthew 23:23, and if you can't find that, turn to Luke 11:42. It's the same verse. Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, page 1032. For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. The Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, lost people, that tithe on mint and anise and cumin, the smallest of herbs. They took their mint plants. Maybe they had 100 of them, and they took 10 of them and gave them to the Lord's work. Maybe their anise, they had 10 ounces of it, and they took an ounce and gave it to the Lord's work. And Jesus said, these things ought you to have done. If a lost Pharisee dying and going to hell would take the time to count how many mint leaves he had and give some of them to Jesus, listen, shouldn't you take time to consider what all of your increase is that you might tie that all? If you don't tie that all, you don't tie that all. If you don't tie that all, you're stealing just like Adam and Eve did, just like Achan did, I think like Ananias and Sapphira did, and you've got a hole in your bag, and you're not making ends meet, and you're sweating it all the time, and you're not living the way that God intends for you to live. Didn't get enough amens. The Holy Spirit speaking to your heart about your giving. Because you're not tithing. Yes, you're writing a check for the gross amount, but you're not writing a check for all of your increase. There's a bunch of you need to go back and figure out what you owe God. Take some 3x5 cards if it's 500 of them, and $1 a week or 50 cents a week or $5 a week or $20 a week or whatever it is, you need to get right with God. It's not a matter of raising money. It's a matter of raising Christians. How long do you think you're going to live wrong with God and get away with it? If you don't tithe at all, you don't tithe at all. Say it. If you don't tithe on all, you don't tithe at all. Oh, listen, how's your bag? How is your bag? Oh, listen. Consider your ways. Is the tithe holy unto you? Consider your ways. Do you tithe on all of your increase? You'll never grow in giving until you begin to tithe on all of your increase. There is no giving until you've begun to tithe. And there's no real tithing until you've counted everything that comes in your possession and you give on it. I was teaching in the evening college chapel a few semesters ago, and there was a lady sitting in the back, and I didn't know who she was. When I got done teaching this very subject in one of our Bible survey classes, she stood up and she said, "Could I say something?" Not knowing who she was, I was very reluctant, and I said, "Yes, you may." She said, "I'm a graduate of this college," and I went, "Whew." And she said, "I was lived in the dorms," and she said, "When someone would give me a candy bar, I wouldn't have a nickel to tithe on it, but," she said, "I'd get down beside my bed and I say, 'God, if you'll give me that nickel, I'll tithe.'" And she said, "God never failed to provide the tithe for her increase. Never." Do you care enough to give the very best to the one who gave his best to you? How's your bag? How is your bag? Every head bowed. If today the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about your giving, would you stand? And I'm going to pray with you. Father, we'd like to raise Christians one more notch today in the matter of giving. This is baby land stuff where we preach today. But if we don't have the foundation right, we can't go above and beyond and begin to give to missions and to world causes without first having this primary lesson correct. We ask, God, that you'd seal in every heart a commitment to the holiness of the tithe and to the fact that we should tithe on all of our increase. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.